Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and we are being joined by, why don't you just say your name and where you're from?
Good morning, Jason. My name is Tigressa Jones, and I am local here in the DMV, born and raised in specifically Landover and Cheverly areas.
Okay, awesome. And we're talking because you were doing a tribute to the late, great Natalie Cole this Friday at the Birchmere in Alexandria. Hey, thanks so much for doing this.
Absolutely. We are excited to actually be able to perform there this Friday. Of course, during this pandemic, we're going to be socially distanced. It's going to be a great night. We have a lot to celebrate, and me and my musicians are very happy just to be back on the stage.
Awesome. Now, what exactly are we going to hear? If explain the show in terms of maybe some of our listeners are huge diehard Natalie Cole fans, and maybe some of our listeners have heard of her, but maybe not as familiar. Why is it a good show for no matter who?
Oh my goodness. It's a wonderful show because there is a variety of music and genres of music that she covered that anyone who knew of Natalie Cole and her music would relate to. She did a lot of funk influenced music, with Sophisticated Lady, and that's always one that people recognize instantly when they hear it on the radio. And then we do a lot of her jazz cuts. Particularly, we cover Mr. Melody. That's a nice funky jazz cut that she does and that the band does very well. And so from anywhere from funk and jazz and some of the standards that we cover as well. And it's a great show. It's a variety and a very diverse mixture of her music that anyone that knows Natalie and her music would have a favorite or two from our set list.
Awesome. And you mentioned that you have a band there. How many piece band? What are we going to see on stage with you there?
Well, on Friday, you're going to see the core of the band. It's a 10-piece band that includes two background vocalists. And I like to refer to them as complimentary vocalists because without them, the sound wouldn't be what it is. But we also bring the bells and whistles depending on where we're performing. For example, in December 2019, we were blessed and had the opportunity to perform at the Kennedy Center. And because of such a venue, we brought out all the bells and whistles and had the whole horn section. Because as you can remember, Natalie Cole always performed with an orchestra, or pretty much performed with an orchestra. And those we just don't cut on the music and the sound that her music brought. So we like to bring the total experience of what you're used to seeing and what you're used to hearing from Natalie onto the stage with the Natalie Cole Tribute Band.
Awesome. And then if you're allowed, you mentioned Sophisticated Lady, but are you able to, tease a couple more of this in the set list without spoiling the whole thing?
Sure, absolutely. We have a 90-minute set, so it's going to be a lot of music shared. We have, again, like I said, Mr. Melody is always on the set list. We were even going to do Route 66, one of the standards. Sophisticated Lady, you have to do that always, and we do. And the one that I've re recently, over the past couple of years, we perform Inseparable. We've had a couple of engagements off of that cut that we've done, proposals, I should say, in the audience when we perform that song. And if you like to have a lot of some fun, we're going to do some a little bit of Pink Cadillac.
That's right. She covered the Springsteen song, I think, in like '87 or
Springsteen,
something.
absolutely, she
Cool.
sure did.
Awesome. Cool. Well, you mentioned where, that you're local. Tell me a little bit more about, where you were growing up and what age you first heard Natalie Cole. I'm sure it became a lifelong passion of yours to sing her music, but can you pinpoint when and where that actually started as a kid?
I absolutely can, yes. Grew up in Landover, Maryland, and I was actually went to public schools. And I would run home. I can recall running home from school every afternoon because my mom at that time was a member of a Record of the Month Club. And she would get records every month. And I knew just about the time of month that record would come. And I would just kind of look through her records and play on my component set. My brother, who was also a DJ, who had a lot of albums and records in his crates at the house, and I would play, the music. But I was drawn to Natalie Cole's album cover. She's just beautifully portrayed there with her gowns and, you know, her hair. And I started playing her records at the age of 11. And I fell in love, particularly with the song, I'm Catching Hell, Living Here All Alone. And don't ask me why I was singing such a depressing, but beautiful song at the age of 11. But the lyrics to that song just somehow resonated with me. And her vocals and the intensity of her singing to the music is what I just aspired to be like, you know. So I would walk around the house with the brush in my hand and with a turtleneck over my head, and the sleeves of the turtleneck would be my hair. And I would just be mimicking her songs and the lyrics to her songs from side A and side B. If you're, you remember albums, there was a side A and side B, and just learn those songs from lyric to lyrics, from front to back, and just absolutely fell in love with her music. And so I would always look for her records from Capitol Records, that red out record label coming in the box, and I would play them until I could, and then have to put them back where they were supposed to be before my brother and my mom got home. But yeah, it was a very young age that I started singing, 11 years old, actually. And I actually learned recently that it was at age 11 years old that Natalie started performing. So there's some synergy there, right? And I absolutely love her music.
Yeah, that's really cool. You both started at the same age. So yeah, if any of our listeners were driving through Landover around that time and they heard the sounds of Natalie Cole echoing around Landover, it might have been out your window. You know, it was probably you that they contributed to.
Absolutely, definitely in the building, because we lived in an apartment. So they definitely heard the music in the building.
Yes, right. Into that hairbrush, which I'm sure, you know, you had plugged into a speaker system. awesome. So how did you get, so you're at 11 years old. Tell me about how you started taking it seriously and performing professionally. Did you go to school for it, or was it just sort of an on the side thing, or how did that actually happen?
Well, my entire family, my immediate family, we all sing or play an instrument. And we would always get together during the holidays and sing as a family, but I was the only one that was very serious about it. You know, they would laugh and joke about, you know, having parts. My sister, we would make her sing bass, and that was like so comical, you know, to the family. But, you know, I would get really serious and irritated when they just joking around, because I really wanted to perform as a family in the house, of course. And I was always in chorus in elementary school and participating in talent shows in the area, because again, my brother was a DJ and he gave a lot of parties and what they called cabarets then, practically every weekend. And every now and again, he would allow me and my neighborhood girlfriends to perform. And my neighborhood boyfriend at that time at a very young age was Martin Lawrence, the comedian. And he and I would sing, you know, duets to Too Much, Too Little, Too Late, you know, If This World Were Mine, we would do those together. And so I always enjoyed singing. And this tribute actually came about. It was already, the flame was already there, but it was sparked during a behavioral interview that I went on. And the gentleman asked me this one particular question. He said, if there was one thing on your bucket list that you could do, what would it be and why? And it was like no hesitation to me. I was like, oh my goodness, I would love, love, love to perform with an orchestra, Natalie Cole songs. And he said, what would that look like? And I'm like, there will be thousands of people in the audience. You know, it'd be my friends and my family who are very supportive. And it would, you know, if I could have it my way, Natalie Cole would be in the front row, right? And he was like, really? And I'm like, yes. And I said, I've been singing. I love her songs. I would love to do that. Now, at the time, I was a lead vocalist in a classic R&B band here locally. But that didn't come out. It was that, you know, I want to sing Natalie Cole music, and I always wanted to sing it with my band, but it wasn't, quote, funky, end quote, enough for that band, right? Because we did classic old school funk. And so when we had this conversation, and when I left the interview, you know, it just kind of sparked. I sat in the parking lot. I remember sitting like, I really need to get this going because I really want to do this. So I was very intentional about sourcing for musicians that I felt would fit the part. Because even though I was with a band at the time, they were more funk driven. And with Natalie's music, even though she has some funky cuts, it takes a certain kind of musician, I would say, with a certain skill to pull that off. For instance, I was very particular about who would having a classical pianist, not just a keyboard player, but a classical, someone who was classically trained, because the piano in Natalie's music is very prevalent and the horns are very prevalent, you know, and I wanted to have that same sound. And so I was very intentional, started sourcing and interviewing musicians, and wanted to make sure I had the right mix and make sure everyone understood what my vision is. And because I didn't want anyone to view it as being a gig, right? We're not going to do this every weekend. We're not going to do this every month. We may not even do it every 3 months, because I mean, you wouldn't necessarily see Natalie in your city every week, right? And we don't want to kind of like overload people with Natalie Cole music. We want to do it as a show, put on a really good show, and be very well rehearsed with our music. Because usually if you're a musician, you can tell when people kind of put their music together or come together to do a gig. And, you know, I found the right team. You know, they understood, they saw my vision, they understood, they wanted to be a part of something that wasn't just a band. They want to be a part of something that could potentially be bigger than just performing locally. And they're still with me here today. And I absolutely just adore each and every one of them. And I respect them and love their talent. And we blend just so. And so that's how that came about. We rehearsed for a little over a year before we even debuted, which was in August 2018 at Blues Alley, where we sold out both our shows that very first night. And so, you know, the idea wasn't to do the show as many times as we did in our inaugural year, but by, you know, demand, people were asking for it. And so we performed it, I believe, like 6 or 7 times in the course of a year and a half.
Awesome. Thanks for sharing, you know, that whole journey. But I want to double back really quick to what you said about Martin Lawrence. A lot of our listeners probably forget he's such a huge star now, but they forget that he grew up in Landover. He went to Eleanor Roosevelt High School, I think. And
yes,
I think he was born in like Germany or something and then moved here at a young age. But tell me more about that. You said you guys used to sing duets together in Landover.
Yes, we did. You know, as children, we would get together and have talent shows. Everyone loved music and we would sing, and, you know, my childhood girlfriends and I would do songs to like The Emotions and, High Energy, and just performing. The guys would do like Earth, Wind and Fire. So it was Martin and maybe 3 other of our friends would do like Earth, Wind and Fire songs. And he and I would do the duets, and, you know, back then, girlfriend, boyfriend, that's what we were. So we sang together the duets, and my brother would, you know, allow us to do, you know, songs at his cabarets that he would put together. And there were like kiddie cabarets as well. But Martin can sing. I like to say he was singing before he was doing comedy, but he was also very funny at a very young age. He kept us, you know, the neighborhood kids, us just in laughter all the time. So yeah, he went out and auditioned for Star Search and made it and made his mark in the world, and is the funny comedian that he continues to be today.
I had no idea of that connection. That's great. Cool. Well, obviously, we are mostly here not to talk to Martin Lawrence, talking to Natalie Cole. So I'll bring it back around now. But that was an awesome story. I'll definitely use that in the piece. So Natalie Cole, remind our listeners why she's so great. Like, it must have been hard, you know, being born into music royalty, daughter of Nat King Cole, the legendary crooner, still for my money, the greatest Christmas song of all time is his. But you know, talk about how, you know, it was probably a you know, it's a benefit to being a famous daughter, but at the same time, it's a struggle because you're trying to become a star in your own right. Like, speak to that about how that was a unique setup for her.
Well, actually, she was very fortunate to be born in the family that she was with Nat King Cole, the great late Nat King Cole. And also her mom was a singer as well. And she knew that, but she got it honest. I mean, she had the talent, she had the vocals. She had what it takes. She had that it thing to do it in her own right. And that's what she wanted. And I know she didn't want to be labeled as Nat King Cole's daughter. She wanted to be Natalie Cole herself. And she wanted, and she did just that. I mean, she made her mark with her talent and her music. And of course, you know, with Capitol Records being the house that Nat built, she had connections there that could help her along the way in terms of, you know, her music getting out there. So that was very helpful to her. But I do know that Natalie, you know, even though her parents were famous entertainers, she had it honestly, and she really wanted to do that, not because her family or her parents did it, but because that's what she felt her calling was as well.
Oh yeah. And she definitely did, you know, make a name for herself. This will be an everlasting love. There's so many, mm-hmm. We can sing that were hers and hers alone. But it was cool that it was really cool though. I would say that, you know, after she did break out on her own and became famous in her own right, it was really cool that she circled back in the 90s and paid tribute to her dad with that really successful Grammy winning tribute album of, yes. Of course, remember they did the posthumous duet with her and singing with, yes, her father, who wasn't even alive. Like, that was so cool and unforgettable. Remind our listeners how huge that was, and how, like you're saying, it's sort of the flip side of her. She branched out on her own. You already gave me a quote about that, but now talk to how she kind of doubled back and paid tribute to him too.
Absolutely. That was very huge. And it really put her back at the top of the charts, where she, you know, stayed pretty much in the 70s. And just by doing that duet, it was a wonderful, wonderful creation of her and her father singing The Unforgettable. So her paying tribute to some of the songs that the great Nat King Cole sang, because those listeners want to hear that as well. And she did it with several of his songs. And we actually, you know, pay tribute as well when we perform Unforgettable and some of the other songs that Nat King Cole sang that I won't name because they're on our list. But it was a wonderful, wonderful creation that she did. And she felt at that time it was time for her to do that. And I'll never forget, you know, her having that conversation with her mom and saying, "Mama, I want you to be in the studio with me when I do this." And if you know any of the story that her mom was early on very reluctant about her choosing this to be her business. But, you know, her mom, you know, definitely supported her in doing this album to Nat, her dad, to pay in tribute to him and to pay in tribute to the music that he shared with, you know, his listening audience, and the music that those of us who know him and their family love so very much.
Awesome. And I'm glad that you are going to include some of them in your set. Awesome. Well, I have more than enough to work with. Anything else you want to say before we run? Why our listeners should come on out?
Well, I think the listeners should come out because I know we've been in hibernation for over a year and we're tired and we just need to, you know, have a little bit of fun. I'm not saying, you know, do this every weekend, but this is definitely a Friday night that if you want to come out, and we're being socially distanced with our seating, very, very careful. I think it'll be nice for people to come out and have a great time listening to the music and, you know, just celebrating with us, because we have a lot to celebrate. Natalie's 72nd birthday would have been on the 6th of February, which is the initial date we were scheduled to pay tribute to her. So we're definitely going to still celebrate her this month, as well as anyone else who's coming out to just celebrate and have a great time with Tigressa Sings Natalie and the Natalie Cole Tribute Band.
Awesome. Again, everyone, it is Friday night at the Birchmere in Alexandria, so get your tickets now. Hey, thanks so much for doing this.
Thank you so much for having me, Jason. I really appreciate it.